Here's my podcast.
Server 999.
Beautiful. Welcome to another episode of Server Nightmares. I have the pleasure of talking to Reed. What was your last name?
Perry.
Perry. Reed Perry. Reed Perry. That sounds like a celebrity name.
I tried for that.
I know. And yet here we are.
Yeah.
In your apartment.
All 386 square feet of it.
Hell yeah, dude. It's nice. I mean, I think the fancy saying is that you gave me coffee and a wine glass.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want guests to feel, you know, like royalty.
Hell yeah.
Since you're the fourth person who's ever been here.
Okay. Well, I feel I like to have it in an Aperol spritz so I can just lie to myself.
Those came from your restaurant.
Oh, I bet they did.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to say which ones. I
stole a whole box of them.
Oh, well, let's not say that at the podcast because nobody should get in trouble. Reed, how are you, man? How's your week?
Been good. I mean, yeah, yeah. Yesterday was frustration of just, but that was.
Oh, so the rain? So, yeah. To tell people what you do.
Oh, I bartended. I'm a sound engineer.
That's right. So this sound for the next podcast should be a lot better, everybody.
Let's hope so.
Me too. I really hope. That's right. You, the way that I know you is because you work at the Rustic.
Yeah.
So you do sound engineering for the live shows that we have there at the Rustic.
Yeah.
But you're also bartend.
I also bartend.
Which is why you were here.
Yes.
How long have you been bartending?
So I've been bartending off and on for, I've been bartending and serving for 5 years now. Started at a Cotton Patch Cafe.
Oh.
And then I was a bartender there.
Okay.
And then I ended up working at a Carrabba's Italian Grill where I was supposed to be a bartender. I got hired to be a bartender and I ended up just being a server.
Okay.
And then I am now at a great little dive here in Dallas called Timeout Tavern.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, it's really funny because with a lot of places like that, like Cotton Patch or like anything with grill name in it or like big corporation restaurants, whatever.
Yeah.
If you start bartending there, you actually get pretty good experience. Like, it's a good way to learn how to bartend in a way and then branch yourself out into like bigger bars.
Yeah. You know, because you have you have a service well and then just your bar top and you're usually the only bartender there. Mm-hmm. So you have to learn to multitask quite a bit.
Right.
Because surprisingly, a lot of those places can have a really high volume.
Oh, yeah.
Especially a Cotton Patch. Like, hell, if you were the bartender, you were also the to-go person.
Oh, yeah. And, well, a lot of places do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the to-goes, man. Dude, we pumped out a lot of diabetes from that place.
Well, but also, like, you can make good money with the to-go orders.
Oh, hell yeah,
you can. I mean, Jesus.
Oh, dude, I was making, like, $250, $300 a shift.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, Cotton Patch. I've heard actually pretty good things about Cotton Patch.
Oh, the food is so chicken fried wonderful.
Yeah.
It's so good. They have great food.
But I heard even working for the company is not that bad.
It's not. It got really bad about halfway through 2020.
Yeah, true.
Which I think a lot of places did.
Yeah.
You know, but
was it management or was it just not enough business?
It was plenty of business.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we were beating year, because I was also managing at that point too. We were beating year over year sales with just doing to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were running with a full kitchen, but then only two front of house because it was to goes.
Yeah.
So, but the corporate side of everything decided that the to go people were making too much money in their reported tips. And so as soon as we started, you know, minimum capacity, whatever, they started making us split our tips.
Oh, shit. With who?
With everybody.
Yeah, that's where you fuck up.
Yeah. And that's when it got to me, like, well, I went from making $250 to $300, sometimes $400, to walking out with $85.
Yeah. No.
When I was doing the majority of the sales.
Right.
And then that wasn't just me. It was all of the to-go people.
Well, that's what, like, were there, like, to-go people and the bartender did to-goes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no. So it was still just the bartender doing to-go, but you'd have two of them now, which that was fine. With two of us, we were still walking out with really good money.
Well, that's the whole point of a bartender. And I think it's also encourages people who want to work harder to become bartenders, because bartenders, for the most part, make more money than servers in a lot of places because of that.
Yeah.
But it also requires more work.
Yeah.
Right.
And which is why it killed me so much that they were like, okay, so now you have to split your tips 5 different ways.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Even with people who weren't involved in what you were doing, it took out the incentive to bother or to care.
Of course. So now you're a sound engineer and you're a bartender.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing sound?
I've been doing sound since for 9 years now.
Gotcha. So I'm guessing you weren't making a living out of it necessarily from the beginning.
Well, so when I still lived in Montana.
Did you go to school for it?
No. Gotcha. If you could,
do you believe in school? Just kidding.
Oh, you mean their re-education camps?
Oh boy.
No, so it's funny with sound engineering, you know, this, for the studio side of it, going to school is one of the best things you can do for the studio side of it. But for the live sound, I have never seen a person who went to school who did not wash out of the industry PDQ.
Okay. Why?
They don't teach you how to handle a real world situation.
Gotcha.
If you're in the middle of a show and something goes wrong, you have 15 seconds
to fix it.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, if you're in school, they don't teach you all of, they don't teach you signal flow really. And they don't teach you how to look at the cheapest thing first.
Okay.
It's always a cable.
Yeah.
It is always a cable.
Speaking, I like how you, like, as soon as you started that, there was like some noise happening. I think I fixed it.
Okay, oh, yeah. That could actually be my heater just kicked on.
Oh, no. It's on like...
Oh, that could be a cable.
Yeah.
I think it's always a cable.
It's always a cable. See, this is what you have here, baby. I don't give a shit about your stories. I just need the cables. Cables. Fix the cables. Hell yeah. So which bar do you work at now?
Timeout Tavern.
Yep. Where is that?
It is West Lover's Lane. It's Lover's and Inwood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it like a dive bar?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
How do you get that job?
Friends, actually. Well, you know Uptown Pub.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Lily and Maddie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they are friends with the owner of Timeout.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was still at Carrabba's this past summer, July, actually, I got suspended for a week.
Why?
I skipped it.
You what?
I just didn't go.
Oh, okay.
For a day, and then they're like, "Well, we're gonna take you off the schedule for a week." And I was like, "Well, I'm gonna find another job then."
Right.
Screw you guys.
Why did you not go?
I didn't feel like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were pretty much done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was in July.
Yeah.
I didn't get this job until December.
Oh, so you were just like sand engineering and just saving those paychecks?
Oh, no. I was still working at Carrabba's. They took me back.
Okay. Wow. And you happily went back to work.
I wasn't happy about it, I was begrudgingly like, okay, yeah, I'll come back and I'll make good money for whilst I'm here. But Lily and Maddie are friends with the owner of that place and got me an interview. This is in July. Our schedules didn't match up because at that point in time, I was working a lot of sound shifts.
Right.
And so whereas Carrabba's, it being part of Bloomin' Brands and all that kind of stuff, it was corporate enough that they could survive a shift without me.
So let me ask you this. I'm so sorry to interrupt you for a second. And you don't have to tell me if you don't want to. This is just to kind of make a point. So how much do you make during sound engineer versus how much do you make serving?
Okay. So I make way more sound. I make way more doing sound. It's just, it's more feast or famine.
What do I mean?
If it's not busy.
Oh yeah.
It's just the time of the year.
All right.
Yeah. Like going into summer. It's going to be slammed, and because I also play shows too, so it can keep you busy throughout those months.
So you basically serve tables of bartend just for the extra cash.
Yeah. I literally only do that. And also because I'm really bad at taking paychecks because I've been a server for so long since I moved to Texas 5 years ago. So I'm always in that mindset. I can spend $100 tonight because I'm going to make $150 tomorrow.
Right.
And so when you're just making a biweekly paycheck,
yeah,
you got to break that mindset, which I finally actually have gotten really good at doing that.
Yeah.
Like I cook at home. I drink at Applebee's.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. It's really funny because now, because the rustic pays by paycheck, you don't walk out with your tips at the end of the night. I don't know if you know that. Yeah. So
what about cash tips?
The cash tips you do.
Okay.
But card, you know, but you know, you usually, depending on the day, but you usually don't
get cash.
Get tips. That much cash. Like yeah. You do get cash, but with the cash that I get, I usually, that's my going out money.
Right.
That's where I'm like, all right, I have $150 in cash or $200 in cash that I made over 2 or 3 days, whatever. Then I'll just use that to go out and whatever.
Okay.
But you know, I mean, my girlfriend is the one that drinks a lot, so she's the one that really spends a lot of that money. But you know, she pays. We have a thing where she pays whatever. But that's usually the system with me. Whatever cash I have left, I'll go ahead and use that as my going out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. So wait, how did you get the job? So you were Carrabba's and then Maddie in.
Yeah. And so I went in for an interview. My schedule didn't work right for them at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so didn't have anything. And then just in December, I get this random text from the owner and he's all like, hey, man, can you do Mondays and Saturdays?
Yeah.
And I was like, sure can.
Yeah.
And so my first shift there was December 6th, which is a Monday.
Of 2021?
Yeah. So I've only been there for really 2 months now. And... yeah, my first shift was on a Monday. I walked out with $350. Whereas, you know, a usual shift serving at Carrabba's, you know, you might walk out with 90 to 100.
Yeah.
So walking out with $350. And then that Saturday shift, I walked out with four.
Yeah.
And it's kind of pretty much been consistently that, working 2 days a week there. And then 2 days a week at the Rustic running sound. I'm making more money than I was working 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And it's, so I actually have time off.
Yeah.
I can relax. I can go see my sister and Anna.
Yeah.
Like, I can't now because my car is pretty much falling apart. But
which you could save up now and get yourself a new car. You might want to wait a little bit because right now the whole thing with the car is fucked.
Well,
up.
I actually have a car lined up.
Okay.
Yeah.
From where?
So the owner of the production company I work for is selling me one of his cars.
Okay. That's more trustworthy.
Yeah.
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 Cool. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay, well, let's get to the stories, man. That's my favorite part. I love it. That's why I created this podcast. I asked you to give me a couple of the stories of nightmare stories of people doing crazy shit or crazy shit you have to deal with. And I'm pretty sure working at a bar, you know, you got some. So please enlighten me. Make me feel happy. Give me those crazy stories, please, 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 please.
So the most recent one was at the bar I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night, we weren't busy, nothing like that. This was a few weeks ago, you know, right after the holidays. So, of course, we're slow. But these four people walk in and, you know, they're all on the younger side.
Yeah.
Which we recognized one of them. So we knew that he was fine because you ever seen the Legos movie?
Yeah.
His head is shaped like that.
Okay.
So we knew him. Didn't know the girls. They all had their IDs. But this one guy who was with him didn't have an ID. Now, mind you, he was obviously old enough.
Mm-hmm.
But because Texas has this thing called TABC.
Right. Anybody under 30, you have to ID.
Yes. And if they don't have their ID, they got to not be in there.
Well, right. But that's just law.
Yeah. That's right. Law. That's not us. That's law. And so we're just like, hey, man, you can't be in here. You don't have your ID. And this guy decided he was going to fight us about it.
Okay. Of course.
And then that's when we realized, oh, we couldn't serve him anyway. He was way too hammered.
Okay. Like,
this guy's drunk.
Okay.
You know, and so worse than the guy last night.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, boy.
I mean.
Well, by the way, okay, so this is a quick story. There was a guy waiting outside of the bar that we usually go to, who we know, and he wasn't getting let into the bar because he was too messed up. We told him. He kept telling me to tell the bouncer to let him in. And I was like, no, dude, Ronnie's cool shit. He's not in UN. It's for a reason. You're fucked up. Go home. And he decided to call 911 on them for not letting them in. he called 911, which I've, you know, and so instead of just not letting him in, he's now banned for life. He's not allowed to go back into pub, which is very understandable.
Yeah.
Because, you know. I found out today he didn't actually call 911. He was just pretending to talk to them on the phone. he never called them. He just pretended he did. Yeah. So
what?
That's the guy we're talking about. Yeah. So anyways, this guy wants to fight you guys about it.
Well, he just didn't have a lot of grasp on a lot of shit, did he?
Yeah.
He okay. Which going back to this guy, once again, he was, so we were like, hey man, if you don't, like, we asked him to see his ID. She just laughed it off and then gave us a drink order. First off, don't do that to a bartender.
Right.
Ever. And then the other bartender I was working with was like, no, no, dude, I actually need to see your ID. Like, it's, yeah, it's law. And he just got mad. He just went angry.
Right.
And so we were like, well, you got to go.
Yeah.
And then the people he was with, we couldn't serve them either because they were with him.
Yeah.
So.
Is that part of the law? Technically, no.
No.
But if your friend is belligerent and like, then you all four of y'all need to leave.
Well, here's the deal. We were saying, if he leaves, we will gladly serve y'all.
Right.
But with him here, we can't because then he'll end up with a drink.
Right.
And that's just, we don't want to have to watch, pay attention, you know?
Right.
And so then the other guy, Lego Head, he got mad too. And started saying like, dude, we just met this guy.
Right.
We don't even really know him.
Right.
We met him a couple hours ago. He's just been tagging along.
Right. Which is fine. But unfortunately, y'all come in together.
Yeah.
He's there.
Yeah.
Consequences.
So he wouldn't freaking leave. And then they all get upset. Luckily, this kid's girlfriend was like super like, they're doing their job. You need to calm down.
Right.
Like, this is their, they have to do this.
Yeah.
So like, props to her. Great person. And then, so, you know, they're whatever, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do, if they're going to leave, if they're going to do this, if they're going to do that. Well, this guy is just getting belligerent. He starts sitting at different tables with different parties.
Right.
You know, and just screaming about how much of assholes we are.
Which is definitely going to help.
Oh, yeah. It totally fixed the entire situation.
We now he's right getting away. A drink.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, you're so right. Here's a drink.
We just didn't realize.
Yes, of course.
But anyway, so he starts doing that. So the other bartender, because he's way more confrontational than me. I am not a confrontational person. So he goes and then just like, you know, kind of grab, just leads him by the arm out the door. So we're like, he's gone. We can serve these other people now. Well, this fucker marches right back through the door. Just both middle fingers, just a wave in them, you know, just big dicking around the place. And the other bartender goes out again, leads him out. This time it takes like 20 minutes to get him out the door, you know, and we're now starting to get busy. So we don't really have time for this. And so
it's getting very close to calling the police.
Yeah. You know, very extremely close to calling the police. And so I'm back behind the bar, just handling the bar. And this is when we get a rush. Right.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm new to this kind of bartending.
Right.
Where it's a real bar. But I'm keeping up. I'm treading water. I'm doing the thing. And it's about 20 minutes goes by and I'm like, where the hell is Dan?
Yeah.
He's still fucking dealing with this guy at the front door. So he finally gets him out again. He comes back. You know, we get all caught up with everything. This guy marches right back in. At this point, I am pissed.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, my turn.
Yeah.
So I go out there. I meet him at the door. Like, I see that door open. I am right there. Right. And I start just kind of reaming his ass.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, well, I don't believe you that you can't let me drink. It's like, buddy, I don't, you, what do you mean? You don't
give
believe
a flying
me?
Fuck what you believe. I'm the bartender. Yeah. This is my bar. If I say you don't drink, you do not drink.
Exactly. This isn't like a fucking episode of Punk'd.
Yeah.
You cannot drink here. You got to go,
yeah,
buddy. And at this point, the rest of the bar has had enough of this.
Yeah.
So homeboy from one of the tables he was sitting at gets up behind me.
Yeah.
And then a few other tables that are close to the door, they all stand up.
Yeah.
So I'm just standing there with this guy and I've got like 10 different people.
Yeah.
Just screaming at him.
Yeah. So satisfying.
It was so great.
Yeah.
Like, that was my like 90s teen movie moment.
Yeah.
I felt so loved.
Yeah. Jerry Maguire moment.
Yeah. It was great. So anyway,
did he just like get scared and leave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, his Uber showed up.
Oh.
Turns out the entire time he was literally just waiting for his Uber to get there. And he just decided he was going to give us hell.
Oh, cool.
So he's gone finally, and the entire bar.
But his friends did get service.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were actually being honest. Those were not his friends. And the one guy who got mad at us, turns out it was his birthday. It was his birthday.
I mean, you get him a couple of free shots. They're fine.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he came back up and he was like, man, I'm sorry for getting angry with you guys. I was just frustrated with the situation. Like, we had just met him.
Yeah.
Like, dude, no, you're cool. And we are so sorry about that. Thank you for your waiting for us to get him out. Thanks for your patience. All this stuff. We got him a couple of shots. I got his girlfriend a couple of shots. Quite frankly, she was hot. And yeah, you know, ended up being a really great night. The first guy who got up and also confronted this guy, he left us $50 on a $30 tab.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. And it ended up being a really great night, but that was the most recent, like
fuck off
nutcase.
Yeah.
And the only one I've ever had to deal with there.
Yeah.
I would say Crazy Carol, but
well,
she was fine.
Oddly enough, a lot of dive bars, man, a lot of the problems, you know, they're not that big because usually you have a lot of regulars.
Yeah.
So usually the most annoying ones are from the regulars.
Yeah.
They usually get too fucked up.
Yeah.
But usually you don't have to deal too much with them. You know, they're just like, Frank, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Or some shit like that.
You know, or like when I fell asleep at Uptown Pub.
I know. I don't remember that story.
It was last summer. Oh, yeah. Last summer.
You get way too fucked up.
Oh,
yeah.
I was there with a buddy of mine. And like, he sees me like kind of starting to fall asleep and he just slaps me across the face. He's like, wake up.
Did he take you home?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't even have my car with me.
Oh, okay.
Like, if I'm going to go out and, like, go out, I don't drive.
Yeah, this podcast encourages responsibility. Don't drink and drive. Be safe, you know. Yeah. You know, drive fast, eat ass. No.
95, yeah. Stay alive.
There it is. That's what I'm talking about, baby. This episode is brought to you by eating ass. all right, I'm done with this bit. That's that's enough. cool. So that's one. Do you have another one for me?
Yeah, actually. And this was at Cotton Patch.
Oh, yes.
Which, have you ever had one of those moments where somebody calls you racist?
Are you selling me something right now? No. Not to me. I've been involved in something that happened that they were calling us racist. Which, yeah, but no, not personally for me.
Yeah. So that's this story.
Okay, here we go.
It was my first shift back at Cotton Patch after I moved back to Texas from California.
Yeah.
So this was in August of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Sunday shift and we are busy. There, no place gets busier than Cotton Patch on a Sunday morning once church lets out.
Yeah, and the church crowd is always the fucking worst.
Why are they so mean?
Not only are they so mean, they never tip well.
Yeah, it's like, did they not just,
they just got their sins forgiven, so they're fresh, they're just clean. So they're like, oh man, I can be a piece of shit right now, I just got cleansed by the Lord, baby.
I feel like they just missed the entire point of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so,
I don't know if you know, but you know, people in the service industry are not real people. So, you know what I mean? So
that explains a lot.
Yeah. So
we're there, we're slammed. They hired a bunch of new servers the 2 months I had been in California. Yeah. And so we had a bunch of inexperienced folks on the floor doing that kind of stuff. And I'm behind the bar.
Right.
I got a few regulars up there. I'm doing to-goes, slammed with to-goes. And so there's this one table, which our kitchen was on, like, it was a 45-minute wait for food.
Fun.
That's just what it was.
Yeah. And but you also have to come prepared for that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing that always bothered me a little bit. When people, like, got in there on, like, a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and they're like, why is it taking so long? Bitch, because it's a Sunday fucking morning, and there's a 45-minute wait. And we're slammed.
Yeah.
The food is gonna take a while.
This is just what it is.
Right.
So which I never thought a 45-minute wait for once the order was taken to actually get into the... I never thought that was that bad.
I mean, for breakfast? I mean, if the restaurant is not busy...
The restaurant's not busy, then yeah.
Right. 15, if it's minutes. Hella packed, it's like, I don't know. We have you know, 85 tickets on the line right now. You're gonna have to give us a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Sorry.
So this one table, they're not getting their food fast enough. They're not being horrible about it, but they just have to be somewhere.
Right. Which again, I keep interrupting you, but that's one of my biggest pet peeves.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you have an hour to eat, don't go to a fucking Cotton Patch on Sunday morning and expect your food to be out in 20 minutes.
Exactly.
It's not gonna happen. No.
And so their server, and they weren't even like wanting food comped. They weren't going to get the food, but they still wanted to pay for it.
Right.
So they were at least being that nice.
Correct.
But their server was not getting back to them with the check.
Although they had already eaten the food.
They hadn't eaten the food.
Okay.
They just wanted the bill so they could pay and go.
Gotcha.
They hadn't eaten the food. They hadn't gotten the food. They still wanted to pay for the food that they ordered. Just out of being like, this is more our fault than yours.
Right.
But that's when that changed because the server would not go back to that table.
Because he was scared.
I don't know if scared or just not used to having a four table section that was full.
Gotcha.
That's as big as the section's got too, with four tables.
Okay.
So he walks up to me. I'm at the bar. He's like, hey, Matt, can you get us our check? Buddy, I'm not your server.
Right.
Like, I will do what I can as fast as I can.
Yeah.
He goes back. I'm getting things done. This one woman comes in and she had a to-go order.
Right.
That she'd called in 5 minutes ago.
Right.
And I see her come in. I'm like, I'll be right with you.
Mm-hmm.
I go get this table their check.
Yeah.
So I run over to this table, get them their check. And then they come back to me to try to pay it. But that's a whole different story. But,
right.
So I'm taking care of the people who were there first. You know, first come, first serve. It's bar, it's go. Like, I have to-go orders. They're sitting here waiting to be handed out. Yours isn't up yet.
Right.
You, like, can I get you something to drink? No? Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
You sit there and wait. Well, she starts getting really mad because I told her I'd be right with her. And then I asked her if she wanted something to drink. But she said no. I was like, okay, well, when your food comes up, I'll come back to you. So I'm taking care of other stuff. And she starts getting mad. She starts slamming on the bar.
Yeah.
And
which is always a great way to get the bartender's attention.
Yeah, it's really
and get happen. Better service.
So she starts slapping on the bar and doing her, which she, you know, she was an African-American lady.
Okay.
And she goes into the loud, I don't deserve this voice.
Yeah.
And she's upset and that. And she's like, well, I don't understand why I'm not getting service, you know? And then finally she does it. She's like, the manager finally walked over to her. She's all like, well, he's not taking care of me because I'm black.
Yeah.
Oh, I flipped out.
Yeah.
Like it torqued. I've never been that mad.
Yeah.
Like at a situation is what that woman.
Have you not talked to her? Like after you like asked for a drink or, you know, like everything good, like what else did she wanted?
Yeah. I don't know because she didn't want a drink.
Uh-huh.
Her food wasn't up.
Okay.
And I told her I'd be with her as soon as the food came up.
Right.
I was walking past her, obviously.
Yeah.
And like not ignoring her, but there was nothing she wanted from me. So what could I do?
Right.
I'm waiting.
Right.
Your food is not cooked yet.
Okay.
You walked in 5 minutes after you called the door.
Right.
I'm like, shit.
So, okay. So she says that and you're furious.
I'm torqued.
Yeah.
Like finally her food does come up.
Right.
The manager comped.
Of course.
So I'd throw her food at her.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck out of my restaurant.
Right.
And that was maybe, and which that is not that big of like a nightmare story.
Right.
But it was probably one of the most infuriating events I've ever had while serving.
Yeah. I think it's always weird. Whenever people make a big deal about it, you know, because I'm from Mexico, you know what I mean? And so like, I used to work at Bubba Gum Shrimp Company in Santa Monica Pier. And we had, I think the biggest thing is like when a lot of people make it really loud.
Yeah.
Because the second you begin to make it really loud and all this stuff and you start throwing that card, I think that's upsetting because then you're, because there is a racism problem in this country.
Yeah.
But I feel
and
like
you
the
just
second,
discredited the whole thing.
Yeah. I think you're discrediting a lot of it because it's like, so the one that happened to us was we had table of four African Americans, and they were just like they were fine, and then they wanted to do four top shelf margaritas frozen, and I said we can't, and the server was like, well, we can't do that. We can do the frozen margaritas with a topper of a fancier tequila.
Yeah.
Because the problem is it's already in the machine.
Yeah.
And also good tequila doesn't freeze well.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what he was telling them. So we can't do that But what we can do, the house frozen margarita and do a topper of like the Julio or whatever you want. And they said, oh, you don't think we can afford it? You don't think we can afford a frozen margarita? And I was like, no, well, we're not saying that. And he's telling you what you're asking for. We can't do it. And he goes, you're racist. You're racist. And we have a manager who knows both of us. Like, because I just came like, I tried to explain to her. I was like, no. What I mean is, and she was like, no, he explained it to me. He's saying that I can't afford it. That is that, you know, that she don't think I can pay it. And my manager, her name was Terry. She's black. And she was like, what's happening? And then, like, when she told him what happened, she goes, no, ma'am. You're going to have to, like, y'all you have to pay your bills and leave. It's like, I know, I heard what happened. He's telling you that what you asked, blah, blah, blah. And it was a whole thing. And then they left yelling and all this stuff. And there was a table of black people right next to them. And after they left, they came up to the server and was like, dude, I'm really sorry, man. Like, you didn't deserve that, blah, blah, blah. And then they tipped him for the table.
That's
like,
awesome.
Yeah, it's little things like that where you're like, all right, chill. I had a Mexican table, so the same thing. Oh, so we're Mexican. I'm like, I'm Mexican. I'm more Mexican than you. It's always 9 times out of 10 is them trying to get free food, free drinks, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Whatever. Though?
For some reason, I keep thinking you're Italian.
Nope. Born and raised in Mexico City.
I don't know why. Yeah. I think it's Sal, because we call you Sal.
Probably.
And that just makes me think, oh, Brooklyn, Sal. Yeah. What's up, Sal?
Like, sorry, I made this story about me. I don't. That's enough for me. Yeah,
that's every good.
Cool. Do you have one more story or?
I've got, yeah. And this is a short and not a nightmare story.
Oh, beautiful.
This is simply, because, you know, working at Cotton Patch in North Texas and McKinney,
right?
You get North Texas trash.
Yeah.
If you were listening in North Texas, I don't mean you. I mean your neighbors.
If you're wondering if you're it, you're probably it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're not making a lot in tips.
Right.
You know, you might get $2 on $30.
It's volume over quality.
You're flipping tables.
Right.
But, you know, and that was the great thing when I started working in Plano at Carrabba's.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, because you know how you have those tables that you just know, whether it be ethnicity or attitude or this, you know, you're not going to get a good tip.
Right.
And so, and it does happen a lot with African-American tables that African-American servers won't take them. Because they're like, well, I'm not going to get money off of them. I'm not going to tip. And I was surprised to see that people had that same attitude in Plano, because my best tips came from this wonderful couple who their bill might be $40. They were leaving $250 tips.
Well, here's the thing that I've learned about
it's a different
about racial serving. It has nothing to do with the color of their skin, man.
It has to do
it's the attitude. Second they open their mouth, you know exactly how much. It doesn't matter if they're Mexican, if they're black, if they're Chinese, if they're white. It doesn't matter.
No.
The second they open their mouth, you know exactly how much money you're gonna get tipped.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody would love to take this one table from England.
Mm-hmm. English don't tip.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They just wanted it for the accent.
Yeah.
Which honestly, yeah.
English or Italians are the worst.
Are they?
People from Italy. Yeah, just because in their country, they don't tip, so they don't know. Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, we used to have a bunch of immigrants. Not immigrants, tourists.
Yeah.
That came from all over the world.
Yeah.
Italians would never tip. Chinese and Koreans, they were very, very low maintenance, and they always will tip you 15 to 20%. Portuguese. Brazilians were usually my favorite, because Brazilian, they were super fun and all that stuff. And they most of the time will tip you 20%. Oddly enough, the locals were the worst tippers.
Oh, I'm
in
sure.
Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, sorry.
Well, it's Santa Monica. They can't afford it. They're paying for rent.
Well, this is a Santa Monica pier. So, you know, you had a lot of people from, you know, outside. Anybody that came from Bakersfield, bruh.
I believe it.
Bruh. No.
I drove through Bakersfield.
And if you're from Bakersfield, don't leave. No. They were just such bad tippers, bro.
But that's the great thing about Bakersfield. I have never seen more adult bookstores per capita than getting lost in Bakersfield.
That's funny.
It's like, why would you want to leave?
Yeah.
I mean.
Nah, it's fine. They were just really bad tippers. Sorry. Well,
okay. So yeah, this is the last.
I just lost all the listeners in from Bakersfield, which is good. No, I'm kidding.
they know themselves.
Yeah. What was your story? Oh,
yeah, the last nightmare story. Also a Cotton Patch story, but not about a guest or anything like that. It's a coworker.
Oh, hell yeah.
Don't sleep with your coworkers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't shit where you eat.
Yeah.
As I'm doing it.
Yeah.
My girlfriend works with me. Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of after I had just first started. I'd been working there maybe 6 months.
Yeah.
We hired this one girl. I'm not going to. Her name is Amber. She was somewhat attractive. She was a bigger gal on the bigger side. Okay. But, you know, I don't mind that. I'm, you know, whatever. Cool. She was covered in tattoos. And so, yeah, I'm. You know,
I mean, you didn't have to say she was big. You could have just said she was covered in tattoos. No, we don't know her.
Yeah.
But okay, go ahead.
And so this is about the same time I'm becoming really good friends with the main bartender who had just become a salaried manager. And we are, because it was right across the highway from Applebee's. So we were going to Applebee's every night.
Yeah.
She started tagging along. And you know those people who anytime you say something, the only way they can relate is by giving you a story about themselves that makes your thing seem not as bad?
Yeah.
She was one of those.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it was annoying as hell.
Right.
But I found a cool way to make her shut up about it.
Uh-huh.
Which was go smoke a cigarette with her, and then she would start sucking your face.
Okay.
So, you know, just making out. And then, you know, that, which, where are you going to go from the Applebee's? To the back seat of my Explorer.
Okay. So this is just getting classier by the minute.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And the things that Explorer's seen.
Well, that's why it's called an Explorer.
Hey. Probably going where no man should. So yeah, you know, and it it started.
Was this after or before you were smoking your cigarettes in there?
Oh, this is I've never not smoked cigarettes in there.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. So go ahead. So you're making sweet, sweet love outside of an Applebee's in your Explorer.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And you know, trying to make as fast as we can so we can get back in for last call.
Right.
And it started kind of becoming a regular thing. And okay. She was super sweet. Just a really nice girl.
Yeah, I can tell.
Other than...
Sorry.
We say it about her, but I was also that easy.
Oh, yeah, but we know that, though. Yeah. That's the thing.
We're all aware how easy I am.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it became kind of a regular thing. And then one night, I'm in there with everybody. And... there's this other girl in there, and she's sitting next to some other coworkers from Hank's,
uh-huh.
Texas Grill in McKinney. I was running sound there at the time. And so I'm talking to them, talking to her, whatever, cool, awesome, you're fun. Gave her my phone number.
Okay.
Oh, no, I didn't give her my phone number, actually. She found me on Facebook.
Okay. Now, were you dating this other girl?
No, it was not serious.
Oh,
It was very casual. She was trying to take it there.
Oh, gotcha. So it wasn't as casual as you think.
It was casual from my side. I don't think from hers.
Which makes it not casual.
Yeah.
So, if it's not casual for one person, then it's not casual.
Yeah.
Okay.
I found that out that night.
Anyway, yeah.
So I'm hanging out with her, whatever. I'd give her a ride home. And then I'm supposed to go to this party with a bunch of the Hanks people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm heading there. Instead, I get this random Facebook message from this girl. She's like, hey, you want to come over?
Mm-hmm.
Watch a movie or something? I'm like, sure, yeah, whatever. Cool. So we go hang out. And I ended up being really into her.
Right.
And that was mutual. So we kind of end up being something of an item after that. And so now I've got, you know, the girl who works with me at Cotton Patch.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing officially now this other person.
Right.
Which probably wasn't a good idea because we had known each other for 12 hours at that point.
Oh, like right after that night, you'll go start to... Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's a smart move.
Hey.
Like I said, you're getting classier and classier.
Just uh-huh. Better. So anyway...
Someone woke up, we went to the Waffle House.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Got it. And she proposed to her putting the ring in the waffle. All right, go ahead. Okay.
I'm going to do that someday.
Oh, I believe you 100%.
So anyway, yeah. And so now work is super awkward because she's aware of the situation mm-hmm. and she's mad. She's angry. The worst part of it was, though, and this is where I become the real jerk. I had had a bracelet that was given to me by my sister
mm-hmm.
That I was very attached to it and it had broke. And this girl I worked with at Cotton Patch, she worked on jewelry as kind of her part-time thing.
Oh, no.
She fixed it. And she brought it back in and everything and was like, here you go. It's all fixed up. And I just felt lower than low.
Like, did she know you were dating the girl?
Yes. And she knew that I was not honest with her.
But she still did you that favor?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet of her. That was very sweet of her.
And that's why at the beginning of the story, I was like, she's a super sweet, wonderful person.
Okay.
But yeah, that's why.
How long did that 12-hour girlfriend last?
Week and a half.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
Who broke up with who?
Huh?
Who broke up with who?
Oh, I broke up with her.
Why? Crazy?
No. Oh. No. She went and hung out with her ex-boyfriend for an entire day. And just went radio silence. And I was just like, this is uncomfortable for me.
Right.
So I'm going to 86 myself from the situation.
Gotcha.
And that's what I did. I just 86 myself from the situation.
Okay. That's not bad. Hell yeah. All right. Yeah. So we don't have that much time left. So the time left that I have, there's a couple of questions I have for you. It's the worst tip you ever got. Of course, I know that a lot of people are like, well, $0. But what led to that situation? And the best tip you ever got.
Fair enough.
Cool. So let's start with the worst tip.
The worst tip I ever got was not zero.
Okay.
It was so
1 cent. Oh, 10 cents. Yeah.
It was.
That's that's a statement.
Yeah. That's like making a point.
Right.
And it was Mother's Day. And we were super short staffed at that point in time. It was Mother's Day. And so I had a 10 table section going.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it was a Cotton Patch again. So 10 table section going. And we were busy.
Yeah.
This one guy comes in. He's waiting for his mother to get there. And I get him a beverage and all that kind of stuff. And then I forget I have that table.
Fun.
And yeah, and I'm honest with him about it too. He's like, hey, were we ever going to get service again? I'm like, I forgot you were there, man.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, my bad. Yeah. Can I get you going on something? And he is not impressed.
Right.
Which, fair enough. But yeah, he left me 10 cent tip.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what is the best tip you ever got?
Best tip I ever got was $250.
Okay.
On a $50 tab.
Who was it?
Oh, where? It was that couple who used to come to Carrabba's. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were my age, maybe.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they did for work, but they were able to like come out and.
Reed, it looks like you've been smoking cigarettes for 40 years, but you're 25, right?
I'm 29.
Are you 29?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who the fuck said you were fucking younger than that?
I don't know. Everybody thinks I am for some reason.
Oh, no. I think you said it.
Oh, no. Huh?
I don't know if you might have been kidding. Because I remember you telling me you were like 24, 25. Okay. You're only a year younger than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I turned 30 in December.
Wait, what day?
December 11th.
Oh, I'm December 3rd.
Heck 91. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah. Okay, cool. So we got the worst step and the best step. Now, there's one more thing I want to do. Which Cotton Patch did you work at?
Cotton Patch Cafe in McKinney, Texas.
Cotton Patch Cafe in McKinney, Texas.
The address is off Exprential.
Yeah.
Central Expressway.
Yeah. There it is. Let's see. I think it's this one. Let's see. Okay. Here is, I'm looking, I mean, usually it has 2.5 stars out of 5.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
That's
understandable. That's 1.5 stars better than when I worked there.
Okay. So I'm going to read this 1-star review. You tell me if it's fair or this guy's being an asshole.
All right.
Cold food. That's how it starts. Comma. Watery chicken Alfredo pasta that tastes like dirt. Apples and cinnamon with bell peppers inside. What the fuck? This was the worst meal we have had since moving to Texas, and we will never be back. The place is dirty, too. They need a good degreaser. Cold mushrooms in... And then it's like, that was the first paragraph. Second paragraph. Cold mushrooms in a cup that had a greasy coating, and the Alfredo tasted like water, cheese, and dirt. Buyers beware. Which you already said. And then, end of paragraph. Another paragraph. Never again! Exclamation mark. I'm like, if you're going to be angry, you got to learn how to write.
Yeah.
A decent fucking review. What did you think of that, of the Alfredo? Was it very watery?
That's fair.
Okay.
That guy is not being an asshole. That is fair. I will say this. Try it again. But that's fair.
But don't get that.
Don't get chicken Alfredo from a Cotton Patch Cafe. It's not an Italian joint.
Yeah, that's true. But also, is there really apples and cinnamon with bell peppers?
Not on purpose, but so when you're working the line,
yeah,
you have your sides, right? And sometimes other sides get mixed in with other sides.
Right.
That's what would have happened. The cinnamon apples do not come with bell peppers. That's an addition. They upcharge for it.
Okay. So, this is another one-star review by Quinn R. We used to really enjoy Cotton Patch, but it just isn't the same as it was in the past. The food isn't as good. Our server was a hot mess, stumbling over his words and scatterbrain. Chill. Brought my tenders out in a to-go box while we were eating in the restaurant. They misspelled add. How the fuck do you... Okay. They add a 5% surcharge as well now. It needs a good cleaning as well. This just seemed like it was just a bad server.
It seems like a bad server. But there's more context that we need.
Yeah.
How busy was it?
Also, the him just bringing your food in a to-go box.
That's weird.
Yeah, I feel like you're not...
Yeah, you're not really paying attention to anything.
There's something in there you're not putting in there.
Yeah.
Because I've met some stupid fucking servers.
Oh, yeah, me too. Especially working at Cotton Patch.
So, did you like working at Cotton Patch?
I actually really did until I became a manager.
Okay.
It was
management were not that good. Is there a restaurant that you worked at that you really enjoyed it?
Yeah, Cotton Patch. Okay. I really enjoyed it. It was when I became a manager that it ruined it. Other than that, I loved my managers.
Yeah.
The GM of that place when I was there,
mm-hmm.
His name is Chris. He was probably he's the second best person I've ever worked for.
Oh, hell yeah. Who was the first?
The guy I'm working for now doing the production stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then just last thing before we leave is, do you have any local restaurant that you would like to shout out?
Really putting me on the spot here. I don't go out to eat, so taco
or bar or whatever you want.
Oh, if it's gonna be a
local
bar.
Restaurant, dumbass. Don't give me a chain. They don't need our help.
Taco Cabana. No, Uptown Pub or Time Out Tavern. Those are bars. An Uptown Pub is actually a restaurant. They have food.
That's true. They have actually decent food. They have really good wings.
Their burger. Have you ever had their burger?
No.
Oh, it's good.
Cool.
Their nachos.
Yeah. I mean, it's bar food.
Yeah.
Cool. So Uptown Pub in Uptown Dallas.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's on McKinney and right on the corner.
Hell yeah. Well, thanks for having me in your house, man. Thanks for doing my podcast. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Thank you for coming out all this way.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can always, subscribe to the podcast. I will have more Instagrams and all the stuff set up for later episodes. I'm still working on getting this bad boy off the floor. Wonderful. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good night. Bye.